Today is 22nd November 2022, Tuesday class. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pusyan Pusa. Namo Tisangwang Pusa. Namo Tisangwang Pusa. Namo Tisangwang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Ramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surame Raya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu Sadhu So, okay, now we will continue our chanting on the Padipa Puja. Turn to page 3 of the chanting book. Padipa Puja, offerings of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tilokadipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang Gandha-sambara-yutena Dobbenahang-sugang-hina Pujaye-pujaniyang-tang Puja-bhajana-motamang Vanna-gandha-guno-petang Hetang-kasuma-santatin Pujayami-monindasa Siri-pada-sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang kasumena nena punnena mettena ca hotu mokkhang pupang melayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante aniyang parihapitang Anukampang upadaya patigang hatu motamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu motamang adivasetu no bante Bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu mottamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity, and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then we shall commence our official sharing. Yeah, salutation to the Triple Gem. Yeah, I almost forgot. Yeah. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagavan Buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami สุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสังฆังนะมามิ Okay, you all can be seated. Okay. So we will, as usual, off the light so that you all can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Yeah? Okay. So always remember, awareness-based meditation is to develop the inner awareness within our heart or our mind. When you are just aware, there is no thinking, no thought involved. So this awareness-based meditation, if you have the understanding, it can be developed very easily. What we need to understand is, you have to rely on the four support to fully develop the awareness-based meditation. The support are to help you develop the ability to have this inner awareness develop and stabilize. First support is to relax body and mind. Always remember, when you are relaxed, you are at ease. Both your body and mind fully at ease, without stress, without tension, and without any problem or tightness or whatever. You are really at ease, completely free. The mind is relaxed and free. Then second support is aware. Aware means don't think. Don't even try to know, just aware. Whatever arise, aware. Because as a human being, we have the physical body. We have the senses. And we have a conscious mind trapped inside. So whenever this conscious mind make contact with our senses, after receiving the respective sense data, the sense or consciousness be triggered. Then with the arising of the sense door consciousness, because our mundane mind, through memory, through our conditioning, views, opinion, belief system, they will actually stir our mind to react and to create thinking, or what we call heedless thinking, proliferation of thinking. So all this is how the mundane mind actually manifests and creates all those heedless thinking, or what we call mundane thinking, which are most of the time not beneficial or not useful. Unless you have developed the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom, then you know how to make use of it to constantly arise the appropriate right thought, born of right view. If you don't have that understanding, then all the thoughts that arise, they are mostly wrong thought. Means thought that is without the right view or right understanding. Means thought that has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that make one deluded. So the three evil roots are the roots of all evil. That's like to cultivate the Dhamma or the meditation as taught by the Buddha, we need to start with sati or mindfulness, awareness. Without awareness, we cannot understand. We cannot see things as they are. We cannot insight into phenomena. We cannot develop the appropriate right view and right Dhamma understanding to cope with life. Then the third support is, after being aware, we must stabilize the awareness, means maintain the awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours. Then after that, the last support is trust. For most people, most cultivated all the way, you only need the first three support for you to develop the stability of mindfulness or awareness leading to heedfulness and develop the ability to awaken to the sainthood way to realize enlightenment. But the fourth support, which is trust, trusting your nature to develop the meditation, to develop the inner awareness movement without the interference of thought process, the thinking mind, the mundane mind. And that one is for cultivator of the Bodhisattva way, who wants to develop a more profound and deeper understanding of the Dhamma, then to develop the Bodhisattva vow, the four basic vow, to actually develop the ability to perfect our paramis or paramitas, the 10 perfection leading to Sammasambuddhahood. So that one, the training is very, very long and very, very extensive. So that one can only come about when you have developed the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation so that this awareness nature move by itself. To do that, you need to locate the gateway to our nature and our awareness nature, because we have this true nature or the Buddha nature or the awareness nature we did, but we have already lost contact with it. We have for too long developed the thinking process and get entangled with the thought process, thinking that we only have one mind. In fact, we have two minds. One is the mundane mind, thinking mind, which is dependent originating, condition arising, memory, thought related. The other one is the true mind. When thought ceases, that nature manifests. Yeah? That nature which is only aware, that one is your true mind. So without the true mind, we cannot develop the awareness-based meditation. Just to be aware is to be mindful without thought. Or what we call mindfulness is actually our sati. So sati or mindfulness is defined as an awareness before the knowing. When you are just aware before the knowing, that is sati, that is mindfulness. The moment you start to create thought process, the aggregates of mind, of perception, mind states, mental activity, or mental states, or the conscious moment, then when you input the content of consciousness, thought arise, thought manifests, then you are no longer with your awareness. Yeah. You can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware without thought, to be with the moment, to have the ability to be aware of what is going on within life, within existence, within your form and mind. Or you are lost in thought. It's preoccupied with what you are thinking, perceiving, reacting, stirring, all the movement of sankhara activity. That is what the mundane mind is all about. The living being is all about. So develop the ability to be aware more and more. Then you will understand without thought, who are you? There is another nature within that you can realize and develop the understanding to meditate and to insight in the phenomena, the three universal characteristics, and to awaken. So basically, these are the four supports. So use this, especially the first three. Relax, aware, maintain awareness, to stabilize your inner awareness. Then don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just silent, away, 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 so that it will decondition your heedless thinking. When you are all the time aware, then the shift of consciousness will come. The mind will become very quiet. All of the sankhara activity, they will start to slow down. Here there is no more thought energy to stir them, to create the thinking, the proliferation of thought, the activity of sankhara. Then when you are just relaxed and aware, there is no thought, no duality, no concept, no idea, no content of consciousness. Then that true mind manifests, then nature manifests. That's how you develop the understanding and stability of the inner awareness to gain understanding and wisdom. Okay, with this, I will set the alarm so that you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Okay. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for yourself for as long as you can. These are the mind states that can help you to develop the wisdom, where these are meditative mind states. The inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, they are part of the quality of the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature within. When you are without thought, that nature manifests. And that nature is basically aware, without thought. And because it's without thought, there is no sankhara activity. There is no duality. There is no idea or concept or thought process. So basically, is to be in the state of awareness, or we call it the meditative mind, the true mind, the silent mind, which is just aware. When you are in this state, you can be heedful. That's why all of meditation start with heedfulness. Because without heedfulness, you cannot meditate. The Buddha already stated it in his Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if they spiritually dead. So because of that, awareness-based meditation is very important. Okay, now we are turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ samma sambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu nutaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati svakanto bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pacya tang veditato vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato saukkasanggo Nyayapatipanno bhagavato saukkasanggo Samicipatipanno bhagavato saukkasanggo Yadidam chatari purisa yogane atta purisa pugalam esa bhagavato saukkasanggo ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaneyo arutaram punya Ketang lokasati sadu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we'll continue from where we stop. We are at page 396 of this book. The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, commentaries by Master Shen Hua. We are at Volume 3, Chapter 2. Long have you waited to speak this Dhamma? We start from there. So, the commentaries. What is meant by Son of Wisdom, or Wisdom. Is it the correct picture? Oh, I think further down. No, no, further down. Further down. Or not? I think here, yes. Okay, so we have got this correct, correct, yes. So that one, yeah. Long have I waited to speak this Dhamma. Long here means that he never spoke it before, or it was a long time ago. Sakyamuni Buddha had been speaking the Dhamma for a long time, but it was always the provisional Dhamma. It was provisional wisdom, means the sainthood way. He has never spoken the real wisdom Dhamma. Now at the very end, the genuine real wisdom is being spoken for everyone to hear. That's why it's stated in the sutta, long have you waited to speak this Dhamma. Okay, we go to the next part of the sutta. Speaking of attachment, of such powers, fearlessness, and samadhi, Dhyan, Samadhi, and Liberation, and Other Inconceivable Dhammas. Commentaries. Sakyamuni Buddha spoke the Dhamma for 49 years. This one is a Theravada version. Mahayana version, 49 years. Theravada version was only 45 years, not 49, 45. He became enlightened at, oh yeah, correct, 49, this is Theravada, sorry. Because at the age of 29, he became enlightened. He passed away at the age of 80. So 80 minus 29 is, should be 51, so sorry, 51, yeah. So Mahayana stayed as 49, so it's actually 51. 51 plus 29 is actually, oh no, he left home at 29. Yeah, now I got it right. He left home at 29, 6 years later is 35, yeah. So I was correct. So at the age of 35, he became enlightened. So actually, 80 minus 35 was only 45, so not 49. Huh? This is Mahayana. Mm. Theravada, he taught for 45 years. Yeah? In over 300 assemblies. And from the very beginning right through to the end, he never spoke the real Dhamma. He only spoke the provisional Dhamma. Here in the Lotus Assembly, he finally spoke the real wisdom Dhamma. Then the next part of the sutta is speaking of your attainment of such power, fearlessness, and samadhi. Meaning, there are 10 such powers and 4 fearlessness. Then Dhyan, Samadhi, and Liberation. They refer to the 8 liberation. Also called the 8 renunciation of the back. And other inconceivable dhammas. This dhamma cannot be conceived about with the mind or with the thought process. Or cannot be expressed in words. Okay, next part of the sutta. Concerning the Dhamma obtained in the Bohi Mandala, no one is able to raise a question. I find its meaning hard to fathom, and am also unable to ask about it. So you speak unasked, praising the path you have walked, and that wisdom, fine and subtle, attained by all Buddhas, all the Arahants with outflows, and those who seek Nirvana have fallen into a net of doubt. Why has the Buddha said this? So here, all the Arahants with outflow means they still have outflow of the thought. Their thought or mundane mind has not ceased. That's why this one is Arahant with outflow. Yeah. So all these sainthood way cultivators, the disciples of the Buddha, including the Pachika Buddhas, they have doubt. Yeah. Because the Buddha never spoke this before until now. Then they ask, why has the Buddha said this? Then the sutta continues, we say, those who seek conditioned enlightened one or Pachika Buddhas, then the Bhikkhu and Bhikkhuni, the gods, the dragons, the ghosts and spirits, Gandhavas and others, look at one another, perplexed, and then gaze at the doubly complete honored one. Here, doubly complete means they have that double perfection. Huh? In Mandarin, I think Master Xuan always pronounce it as Fu Zhu Hui Zhu. Fu Ye Bu Che Le, Hui Ye Ye Men Le. So the meaning is both virtue and wisdom, yes, perfected them. That's why it's called the doubly perfect or complete honored one. What is the meaning of all this? We pray that the Buddha will explain. So now we go to the commentaries. There is an outline, subheading. Doubt of those of the three vehicles and of those of the fourfold assemblies. Concerning the Dhamma obtained in the Bodhi Mandala. So that part of the sutta, the meaning is the fine and subtle Dhamma the Buddha obtained in the Bodhi Mandala. No one is able to raise a question, which means we do not know how to approach the subject because it is real wisdom, not the provisional wisdom of the sound hearers. Those of the three vehicles cannot even ask about it. I find its meaning hard to fathom and am also unable to ask about it. Because no one understands, no one is able to ask about it. So there is the explanation by Master Xuan Huang. Then the sutta continues. So you speak unasked, praising the path you have walked and that wisdom fine and subtle attained by all Samasa Buddhas. The commentary says the meanings are you praise the true real wisdom teachings, the extremely profound wisdom which can only be understood by all the Buddhas in the 10 directions and by Sakyamuni Buddha. The next part of the sutta says all the arahats without outflows, although they have ended outflows and are fourth stage arahants, means they are really arahants. So without outflow means they don't have to come back to take rebirth. And those who seek nirvana means they are bodhisattvas or the provisional vehicles who seek nirvana, or perhaps they are particular Buddhas have fallen into the doubts. Have fallen into a net of doubts. So hearing the Buddha spoke of the true or real wisdom Dhamma, which is extremely profound, subtle and wonderful, rare and foremost, everyone has doubt. They have fallen into the net of doubt. If one has doubt, one cannot cultivate the way, as I have often said before, because doubt is a mental hindrance. Cultivators of the way, take care not to doubt. Once doubt arises, it is easy to get lost. If you have doubts, you will lose your way. So now the sound hearers, the conditioned enlightened ones, and the provisional teachings bodhisattvas, every last one of them, have fallen into the net of doubts. Okay, next part of the sutta. Why has the Buddha said this? The commentary say, why has he spoken such a frightening dhamma? It has caused everyone to have fog-like doubts and to disbelieve, to be frightened and alarmed. But actually, sometimes the English word they use is not so correct. Because if they are arahants or saints, they will not have this frightening character or alarm or having this disbelief and all this thing. I think here is Shen Hua's way of sharing it. Okay, next part of the sutta. Those who seek conditioned enlightened ones, so Pacheka Buddhas, the bhikkhus, the bhikkhunis, gods, dragons, ghosts and spirit, Gandhavas and others, look at one another with perplexity. Everyone stare at each other. Means you look at me and I look at you and nobody understands what is going on. Perplexed means they have doubt, which has not been resolved in their heart. They do not know what would be best. Should they go south or should they go north or should they go east and west? They have gotten to the intersection, but they do not know which road to take. There they stand in the middle of the street, not knowing which way to go. They are perplexed. And then grace at the doubly perfect on that one. They stare fixed or grace. The word is gaze at the Buddha, not turning their gaze away for a moment. They stare up at him because he is sitting high upon the Dhamma seat. They all tilt their head back to gaze at him. What is meant by the doubly perfect honored one? It means the Buddha is complete in both blessings or virtue and wisdom. This is because he cultivated blessings of virtue and wisdom for three asankhaya kappas, actually three and three quarter, and perfected the five marks for 100 aeons. There are 80, it's supposed to be 80 major characteristics. They call it five marks, major characteristics. And asankhaya kappas refer to an uncountable numbers of years. Here we are talking about not just one, but three uncountable numbers of great aeons. How long is that? That time period cannot be calculated. How could you calculate an uncalculable numbers? That is the commentary here by Shen Hua. One cultivates blessings by making offerings to the Triple Gem, by drawing near to all the Buddhas, by making offerings to the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha, to the Bodhisattva, Pacheka Buddhas, and the Arahants, the three great uncountable aeons. Sorry, for three great uncountable aeons, the Buddha vastly cultivated the practice of making offering. He did not make offering to just one Buddha, but to many of them. One cultivates wisdom, first of all, by holding the precepts. Why? If one holds the precept, one can give rise to samadhi. From samadhi comes wisdom. If you have samadhi power, you will have wisdom power. So what is samadhi power? Samadhi power means not being turned by any external state, neither good nor bad. Can move your mind means you have equanimity. Whether the situation that arises is favorable or contrary, your heart does not move. You can have an unmoving mind. It means you have samadhi power. Once you have samadhi power, then you can have wisdom power. So this one is a very direct consequence of it. Or very obvious. Samadhi power means you have equanimity. Your mind is unshakable, collected, unwavering. So when you have this mind which is collected and unwavering, it will not stir at the moment of sense experience. That's why you can at all times, sitting as they are, without having to like be affected by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Means the sense experience has no power over you. So this is samadhi power. That's why when you have samadhi power, you can see things as they are. You can insight in the phenomena, the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And you can see things as they are, not affected by your views, opinion, and conditioning. Means the direct seeing, the awakening. So this is how you should develop the understanding. Sila, samadhi, and panya. With sila, your mind is at peace because you didn't break the moral laws. When you keep your sila, you will not have regret, remorse, problem, and all those things. No suffering, nothing. Because able to keep precept is a virtue. When you can keep precept, means you have the ability to avoid all evil, especially major evils. So precepts are very important. With precept, you have less problem in life. That's why you can develop samadhi more easily. When you don't have karmic negativity, when you can avoid all evil, you will have the causes and conditions for wholesomeness to arise, for blessings to arise, for good moments in life to arise. Otherwise, you will get yourself entangled, afflicted. You will have a lot of problems if you don't keep your sila. Because those who break their precept actually commit great evil. You become evil. And because the law of karma says you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, you are what you are because of your karma. So if you don't keep your precept, the nature's law of karma will actually hit back. You reap what you sow. You will be entangled, you will be afflicted. And with that karmic negativity happening, there is no peace. You will have a lot of worry, anxiety, fear, sorrow, lamentation, unresolved issues in life. So sila is the basis for peacefulness of mind. That's why when we chant, the Buddha already described to us, Sile na sukanting yanti, Sile na bhoga sampadan, Sile na nibunting yanti. So these are the benefits of sila. So the first one is sukanting yanti. This one is sila is the basis for sukang, happiness, joy. When you keep your precept, there is this joy. Then the next one is peacefulness of mind. Then finally, of course, you will also develop all the beautiful mind states, especially equanimity of mind. And of course, the last one is spiritual peacefulness, nibbunting yanti. And bhoga samadhan is, I think, spiritual wealth. So sila is very important. Sila, if well cultivated, is a purifying force that can lead to samadhi. And when there is samadhi, your spiritual faculties will be very stable. Then it will lead to direct seeing, insight into phenomenal wisdom. So all these are related. Okay, we go back. So I read on. Once you have samadhi power, then you can have wisdom. This one we have covered. Sakyamuni Buddha cultivated blessings of virtue and wisdom. One cultivated wisdom by studying the sutta. The study of the sutta augment one's wisdom. Actually, this is the first, what they call, phase of Dhamma, the learning of the teaching. If you do not study the sutta, you will not be able to increase your wisdom. If your wisdom is not increasing, it is decreasing. Therefore, you must study all the sutta, the kshatriyas, and the Vinaya. Study the Tipitaka diligently. That's cultivating wisdom. So this one is one aspect, one phase of Dhamma, learning of the teaching. We call it Pariyati. The second phase of Dhamma is more important. After you have studied the Dhamma, you must put it into practice. Patipati, phase two of Dhamma. Then when you put it into practice, you will awaken. Then only the phase three of Dhamma, Pativeda, can arise. Means you realize the friction of your hard work. Then you get to live the noble life of enlightened being. Okay, then I read on. If you only cultivate blessing and do not cultivate wisdom, what kind of fruit will you reap? One who cultivates blessing and not wisdom is like an elephant wearing a necklace. In the future, you will be a big elephant, tall and strong, wearing a fine necklace. You will look striking enough, but you will not have any wisdom or intelligence. One who cultivates wisdom and not blessing is like an arahant with an empty bowl. So this is an analogy that Master Xuan Hua gave. If you just study the sutta but do not do good deeds nor plant good roots, how does one plant good roots? Just by doing good deeds. By not doing any evil and doing many good deeds. This is to plant and tend your good roots. If you merely study sutta and does not do good deeds and help other people, you will be like an arahat, also with an empty begging bowl. You may certify to the fruit of arahantship, but when you go out for your alms bowl, no one will make offerings to you. So you have certified to the fruit or not? They will ask. So what? No one will make offering to you because you did not cultivate blessings in the coarser ground. And so you have no blessing now. So here, Xuan Hua is trying to, I think, give cultivator of the way advice. You should not be like, do only one side of the cultivation, because blessings and wisdom, or virtue and wisdom, need to be cultivated together, side by side, side by side. Otherwise, your cultivation become like imbalance. But there are cultivators who tend to focus on only one aspect. Means they seriously cultivate their blessings. They want good life, good condition to have wealth, possession, everything. Then come to wisdom, they say, that one not so important later. Then there are some serious ones who focus too much on wisdom part. Just cultivate, cultivate, cultivate. But they forgot about cultivating blessings, or what they call merge of virtue. So without those, you will not have the good condition to have all the wealth, the possession, the sustenance, and all those things to help you in time of tribulation and needs. So all this need to be understood. That's why in our cultivation, you have to cultivate both. Sila leading to cultivation of blessings, merits, then wisdom. Wisdom is, of course, meditation. That's why you have Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Then you have Dana, Sila, Bhavana. So Dana is cultivating generosity or virtue, blessings. When you give, when you make offerings, that Dana Parami is very useful. Then from Dana Parami, it supports our life. Then it can give us the causes and conditions to start our cultivation early with better causes and conditions to support us. Otherwise, it's not easy. Okay, I continue. I often tell you these two sentences. To endure suffering is to end suffering, which is true. To enjoy blessing brings an end to blessings. You suffer? Why do you suffer? It is because in previous life, you did not cultivate blessings. And so you must endure bitterness now. If you can endure your present suffering, it will come to pass. If you do not undergo that type of suffering which you created or you deserve to go through, it will remain latent. If you take what you deserve or have already created or planted, it will disappear. Actually, it should be even neutralized. Means you have pay off your coming retribution or blessing. Oh, sorry, coming debt. You have a bit of blessed retribution and you just spend your days enjoying yourself. You live in a nice house, eat good food, buy fine furnishing and latest model of car, or even your own aeroplane, private aeroplane, so that you can fly around as you please. You do not take even the least bit of suffering. You use up your blessings very fast. Once you have used them up, you will not have any more of this blessing. So once you have enjoyed all your blessings or happiness, you will have to undergo suffering again. Do you know how much happiness you have coming to you? If you enjoy it all, you will end up suffering again. So this is Master Shenhua's way of trying to explain to you what is the purpose of cultivation of wisdom and blessings. Whatever you cultivate, especially blessings or virtue or merit, is like spiritual wealth or money. You use it very often, you will not have enough unless you have perfected them all and have a lot of wisdom, virtue, and blessings. Then you keep on developing it. Then it will never be exhausted. Otherwise, he said, don't be complacent. Don't just, whenever you have a good life, you neglect your cultivation, you keep on enjoying. So in the end, you may exhaust your blessings or your merits. So this is just the advisor. But as far as I know, if you are a true cultivator of the way, you will definitely accumulate a lot of virtue, a lot of blessings and merits. Because when wisdom is there, all this true virtue, true blessing will arise. Whatever you do will create all those things. This that Master Shenhua mentioned will only happen to those who haven't developed the wisdom. When you don't have much wisdom or hardly any real wisdom, then you may end up spending all your merits or spiritual blessings. Then when it's no longer there, you have to go through suffering again, and all those are possible. But you have wisdom and realize the merits, the blessing, the virtue, they will be automatically developed, and your nature, karmic nature, will have them. You will have them. And later on, as you walk the Bodhisattva way, your perfection will give you all the blessings, the virtue, and the merits. Okay, we read on. Sakyamuni Buddha cultivated both blessings and virtue. And wisdom, sorry. Blessing and virtue is the same. Blessing and wisdom. And so he is called the doubly perfect on that one. So the word complete, not so good. Perfect. Doubly perfect on that one. Perfect in wisdom and blessings. Okay, I think we end here. We are 9:44 already. Okay, I will mark this page. What is the meaning of this matter? So now we shall continue with our second session. Second session is about meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. You can ask me anything related to meditation or the Dhamma, the teaching, and how to apply this Dhamma to help you understand life and solve whatever problems you have in life. All this you can. Okay.
Good evening, Prabhu and all Paramitas. Well, I just came back from the Vipassana retreat.
Yeah,
but this time I'm not actually doing the sitting because I was converted to the server in the last minute. Because they don't have enough helpers. So I was given a task to do the coordinator between the teachers and the students.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first time doing that. So I was actually quite busy running here because the compound was quite big.
Yeah, but were you able to maintain mindfulness while doing all this? That one is a good training or test.
Actually a very good question.
Yeah.
Because what happened was that on the second days, I noticed that the habitual tendency came out.
Yeah.
Because I suddenly have a very deep reflections. Like while doing the calling from students and all these things. So I noticed that once I was given a task, I'm committed to it. But once I committed to it, it's like I hold it very tightly.
Yeah.
And then and during the process, I didn't relax at all. See?
Oh.
So it's just suddenly I was just suddenly aware. And then I said, oh, what am I doing? I'm in the meditation retreat, and I'm supposed to be, you know, be more relaxed and all this thing.
Yeah.
And suddenly by realizing it, I just the whole body and just sat down.
Settle down.
And then I said that, you know, this is a very strong habit.
Yeah.
You know, and that I happen in doing everything, anything.
In my outside life.
Yeah. So once I realized that, suddenly it just changed, you see.
Yeah.
So I just take things easily and slow down the process. It's a very good reflection, really.
Yeah.
It's just that you know, it's a happy chill. And then when I was doing the sittings, I was using the anapana this time. And then I can detect my sort of like a long breath.
Yeah.
Long and slow breath. Especially earlier in the morning. And then when I very peaceful and calm, I notice a certain part of my body very tense.
Oh, okay.
And then when I relax into it, then, you know, it goes further down.
Yeah, very important. When you relax into it, it becomes different. Where the stress, the tension gone, then your natural state of mind will arise. there is no longer samadhi or concentration. It is the relaxed inner awareness arising. Because if you cannot relax, your mind becomes tense. It holds on to things without you realizing it. So tension will build up, stress will build up. Then your natural state of mind, which is the true mind or awareness nature, cannot surface. And to add on to your earlier one, you see, your ability to be aware is very important. That's why when you are aware that when you are doing the service duty or given certain duties to do, you tend to hold on to it because you are very, you have that type of character. You, in a way, you want to do it well. You want to be like very responsible. Then you take it too strongly. Then you are also the one that panic very fast on. Kanchong. Then you feel that you don't do well. That's why that stress build up, and you know it's habitual tendency. That's why awareness-based meditation is very important. It will make you aware of what is going on. Then, like what I used to share with you, whenever you are not peaceful and not relaxed, the evils are there, the wrong thoughts are there. That's why you have to reflect on it, contemplate into it. The moment you're aware, the awareness frees you. Because meditation is to develop this awareness, to be aware of your own shortcoming, your own defilements, your own lack of understanding. So the awareness nature is the one that can bring out all this shortcoming, defilement, your habitual tendency, your lack of understanding, your delusion. All this can only surface through the silent observation with awareness. That's why awareness is very important. Once you are aware, like what happened to you, you can reflect on it, contemplate on it, and do something to reverse it. That's why you feel that it's like awakening to you. It has been there for so long, but you didn't realize it until recently. So cultivation actually can happen in many ways. Different people are different. So for your case, this particular understanding will actually give rise to the understanding that mindfulness or awareness is very important. When you have awareness or mindfulness, you can be aware of all your shortcomings, your defilements, your whatever wrong view, perhaps your tendency, all this will surface. Then you will know this is not the way to develop the cultivation. This is not the way to actually continue to cultivate that way. So aware of all this give rise to wisdom that can actually straighten your view, develop the understanding to actually help you progress and develop the cultivation. Otherwise, it's not easy. Otherwise, you find it very difficult to progress. That's why most people are stuck, always stuck, because they lack awareness, they lack mindfulness. When you cannot be aware of all this, especially your defilements, your shortcoming, your delusion, your habitual tendency, all this you cannot see, then you cannot develop the progress. But these are what they call habitual tendency, wrong view, delusion, even your fear, your insecurity, your phobia and all those things. These are all trapped in your memory, which living being accumulate while you go through life. And sometimes without you realizing, it, a lot of things you already accumulated. That's why you have to see all this, then root it out, then change from within. You can only change when you are aware. When you are not aware, you cannot change. There's an awareness or mindfulness is very much. Mindfulness is to allow you to see all this, to understand all this, then to root it out, to reverse all this. Yeah. So this part is very important. Yeah. Pay attention to it. Understand the importance of mindfulness. That's why I say do until the awareness, mindfulness stabilize. Then you can see a lot of things. You can understand a lot of things. Then all the direct seeing, the insight into phenomena, the awakening, it will happen by itself. That's why without awareness, without sati, all these are not possible. The awakening, the understanding. Okay, you know? Yeah, you continue. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I noticed the awareness, the mindfulness in the body when doing the sittings is hand in hand with the relaxations. So yeah. when I detect that certain part of my body very tense, because it's I'm able to notice that because I'm maybe because it's the awareness. Mm. So when I detect that, somehow or other it just relaxes, able to for the part.
Yeah.
So when that body not tense, able to relax it,
yeah,
somehow it will give strength to the relaxations and
yeah.
awareness.
The more you relax, yeah, you will settle down more. Like the tension, the tightness, the holding, everything is free. That's why you don't relax. You cannot be at ease. You cannot remove all the stress, the tension. Because these are all mind states that are created through grasping, clinging, holding on through your habitual tendency, your wrong view, your lack of understanding. Sometimes it's your fear, your phobia, your insecurity. All these are actually haunting the living being. So when you start to develop the ability to be relaxed and aware, then you start to see all this. The big difference between a relaxed body and mind, a person who is trained in awareness-based meditation, and the one not trained is very, very big. The difference is very big. That's why when we have this awareness already stabilized, we cannot go back to the old way. We cannot be like normal people because we are aware very fast. The slightest, very subtle dislike or stress or aversion, you feel it. You cannot do it already because this is not like normal time already. Normal time, people get angry also, they don't feel it. Now, you cannot because that stress inside there, that movement of that mind, that awareness is able to pick it up and you cannot allow it to happen because the sensitivity is there. So the power of mindfulness lies in this ability to detect all this, to enable one to free from all this. That's why this part you all must pay attention. Yeah. Very good. Sadhu, continue.
And also I noticed not only the physical, even the mind, like you're holding the things that you want to do it right, do it good.
Yeah.
It's also something at the back that pulling you.
Correct. Because that one is from your conditioning. Because you are so conditioned. Then that fear, the worry that you may not do it well, you may not do it correctly or perfectly, the fear of making mistake. All this is from the mundane activity, mundane mind movement. Who created all this? The thought. And the thought is not you. If the thought is not you, it's for you to use. So use it because it serves you. That's why it's only we call it a vehicle and a tool for us to use. So use it with wisdom. That's why the user of thought is very important. If you have wisdom, then thought become right thought. Thought will serve you well. But if you don't have wisdom, thought will become your indirect enemy. You cannot see. That's why they will create concept, views, opinion, idea in you. by telling you, hey, you must do it correctly, you know, otherwise you make mistake, you get into trouble, people what and what. So all this is the thought behind. But you should tell yourself, thought is my servant. It's a tool for me to use. I use it. Why must it have power over me? Why must I allow it to project and create all these ideas leading to all the fear, worry, anxiety, the lack of peace? As far as you are concerned, when you are aware, then you can act. There's an action based on awareness and wisdom. It's not from memory, not from views, opinion, and conditioning. So true action is spontaneous, born of Dhamma understanding, wisdom. That's why when you have this Dhamma understanding and wisdom, spontaneously you will act. You won't go back to memory to check, then to create the fenbiasing, the discriminative mind that discriminate to do or not to do, like that correct or not. All these are what they call the mundane thinking, liberating, fenbia, or they call it the discriminative mind, trying to create discrimination or duality within. So when you start to see all this movement, then you realize they are not you. Then why do you allow it to arise? It's because of your delusion, your lack of right view. So when you have all those understanding already, you will root it out. Root it out through what? What is there to fear? Who fear? The thought fear. So you just do. Understand? Do means what? Be mindful, be aware, and act based on Dhamma understanding. So what is Dhamma understanding? Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought. Then no more problem. No need to check whether right or wrong. Because that right view, which is the first one, is law of karma. You know, you reap what you sow. There are things that you cannot do. That's why precepts and all those things. No negativity, no selfishness, no anger, no hatred, no delusion and all that. So all this are part and parcel of Dhamma training and activity. When you reflect and contemplate, then you know what constitutes evil. You expand on it. Then you can detect it in your daily life, within your mindfulness, within your daily life. Otherwise, you can't. If you don't even know what constitutes evil, you are not expanded on the Dhamma and understanding, then in the midst of life and they arise, how can you be aware? Where you have not developed the understanding of it. But when you have developed the understanding of it, it becomes different, like greed. It's not just greediness. All of your selfishness is part of greed. Possessiveness is part of greed. Your craving, your desire, your lust, they are all greed. Your selfish cunningness, insincere intention behind all your action and speech, they are all with the evil roots. So all this understanding, the moment you understand, then you know these are evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil. That's how you keep your precept. And your precept can be at a very, very much more refined level than normal precept. Because normal precept is just we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. But when you understand it, it's not only killing and causing harm, it's causing suffering. And you reap what you sow. Whatever you develop through your wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong thought process, you create karmic negativity. Like you instill fear in people, your subordinate, or you cause them misery, violence, phobia, and all those things. Then when you are in power, you do things without considering the others. And because of that, you reap what you sow. In future, you will reverse role, become the victim. Somebody will do it back to you. And this is what karma is all about. This is what right view is all about. If you don't want all these things to happen to you, then you better do your duty. That's why if you don't want yourself to be like your kid, if you scold them, reprimand them without understanding and don't have the what they call dhamma behind, then this is what will happen to you. In future, when you become a kid, you will have parents who will scold you, reprimand you, and do all those things without the dhamma understanding behind. It's the same. It's like how they spoil their kid because they lack the dhamma understanding to train them, to bring them up, to give them the freedom to live life. So they are alive, let them live. You do your duty, they do their duty. So all these are the understanding. When you treat people well, not only your children, your wife, or your loved ones, or relatives, or even other people you don't know, you must treat them well, with sincerity, with honesty, with love, with joy, with compassion. And then only that mind becomes different. Otherwise, you entangle yourself without you knowing. Within that moment, you can just become angry, violent, unhappy, and you heat out. So all this has its karmic consequence. So when you are mindful, aware, all this can be observed, understood, and reversed. That's what cultivation is all about. Okay? So you can continue your sharing. Okay.
And this time, I actually brought my mother around. And to my surprise, she did very well.
Oh, yeah, because she has faith, I think.
She did very well. And because we can't talk, you see, only we able to talk at the end of the day.
Mm.
So at the end of the retreat sessions, I asked her, experience.
Mm.
She said that her mind was very sharp.
Yeah.
Once she noticed that, she fly away with the thought, she quickly just bring it back. And her body, through the section, her body sensation is very strong. She got a lot of different kind of sensation whereby, even like electric shocks, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And then can see the light and the legs is like crumping, numb and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
And what she told me was that she's just let it be.
Yeah.
She just let it be, and then she said that later on then it will all gone.
Yeah, it will be gone. True.
I was so surprised because
hold on to it, it will just come to pass. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. When the causes and conditions is no more, it will cease to be. That's why if you just let things be, everything will settle down. The mind will settle down. The activity of Sankara will settle down, slow down, until your true mind arrives. That's why she can have the experience, because she know how to just let things be. I think what happened was, she normal time, not at retreat, she got a lot of things to do at home and all those things. Then when she go there, she had faith and she had the joy. Then less thought. That's why the sensitivity heightened. And when she know how to let things be, he don't go and create the thinking. Why am I here torturing myself? The mind become very different. That's why the sensitivity like heightened. You can feel all those things that you describe. It's because when the mind is settled down without the thinking, the awareness heightened. Then when you know how to just relax and aware, means let things be, means aware, don't try to do anything, don't try to know, and just relax into it. Whatever mind state arise, relax into it, and be with it like I teach this koan. Yeah. Where you can be with it, everything settled down. Everything become like natural again. Become very quiet, very still. That is what meditation is all about. No need to have all the method, technique, and all things. When you understand, you just relax into it, maintain awareness. Then accord and flow like you are dead. Then everything will settle down. Very good. What your mother experienced, very good. Just tell her, sadhu her.
Yeah, to my surprise, because this the in the retreat, the teacher didn't say that, you see, and she didn't heard about what your dharma talk. In fact, I was the one that always hearing that, you see, and to my surprise, I heard it from her, you see.
Yeah,
so I was like,
that's why
I don't know.
Somebody who doesn't know anything but who has faith, if they go there, they will settle down very fast on, because they got no more worldly duty and activity, understand not? The only thing is to serve and to do all those routine. That's why, and noble silent, of course. So when you are noble silent, she just do, understand not? And I think she has been through life. She know how to do her duty very well. She like to help out and all those things. That's why this one will give her a lot of joy. Then the mind can settle down. Because in a retreat, especially in noble silence, you no need to do anything. No, to a housewife, to a mother, I tell you, this is relief. Like my wife told me, 8-9 days in Cameron Highland, no need to do housework. Wow, that is really a big difference. Because the amount of housework they do is a lot. And you don't have the Dhamma understanding. You cannot go. They'll develop a lot of habitual tendencies and emotion and all those things. Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, Mother one is good. Sadhu.
Yeah, and then because she cannot cross leg and sit, you see,
no need.
She sit on the chair.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The way she sat, even Song also very impressed. She said, wow, very. The her look is very relaxing.
Yeah, very natural.
Relaxing. And actually, this was the second time I brought her to. The first time was like 10 years ago.
Mm.
And in the first time that she went, on the certain day, I mean, on the I don't know which day was it, and she said that she explained that her leg was gone.
Yeah,
and then
you
she,
cannot perceive the physical.
There's no leg.
Yeah.
And then she was so afraid, and she forced
leg.
Herself to
no
open
need.
That
no
she, because she don't know, is it?
Yeah,
she forced her leg to op, her eyes to open to see whether
actually,
the leg is there.
No need.
Yeah, I know. But you know, I was like, wow.
Because when your consciousness become very quiet, very still, it reach the arupa state, the formless state. So when you are in the formless state, it's like the physical body is gone. It's only mind. So all these are possible.
Yeah, because that was her first time, is it?
You know why she can do that? Right? Because you must know your mother last night worked a lot. Then to them, once no need to do anything, that is heaven. Like very, very, they are very happy, you know. They really know how to relax and appreciate those moments. But you are different. you don't know how to appreciate the moment of no need to do anything. You know, when you are too free, no need to do anything, your mind disturbs you a lot. Oh, you're not, because you are so used to do things. And the thing you all do is all related to computer, the thought process, your daily life activity like last time. Oh, a lot of things haunting you, unresolved issue and all that. That's why without daily mindfulness and the Dhamma understanding, it's not easy to cope with life, to understand life. Because these are the things that is happening to the worldly people, the mundane people. If they don't have the Dhamma, they don't have the mindfulness awareness, they are actually heedlessly lost in thought and developing all the conditioning, the negativity of action, speech, and thought. That's why their life is full of stress, full of worry, anxiety, problems. Every now and then, they find it very difficult to have peace. And the first noble truth problem will haunt them. Maybe initially not much health problem because they are still young, but then they will have relationship problem, girlfriend problem, financial problem, then career problem, and a lot of things related to their daily life. they will develop all those stress. That's why nowadays a lot of young people, they get into depression very easily. And they cannot cope with society's stress and what they call pressure, peer pressure that come from their age group and all this thing. Then they tend to compare. That comparison, that measurement that they do actually create a lot of pressure and stress on them. So they are like forced to actually achieve. So that one will actually drive them cuckoo. If they have that talent and that past coming to receive all those, then at least they do well. But not everybody has that. So a lot of them who don't have the past strong character or parami or intellectual capacity to do well, they will land themselves into suffering, misery, problem, and all this thing. So this is what life is all about. Without Dhamma, without mindfulness, without all this understanding, you cannot cope with life. Very good, Sadhu.
And the biggest bring home things that I've learned in the retreat was that the daily mindfulness, the importance of daily mindfulness. Because meditation is just not sitting.
It's not just sitting. It's your ability to be aware of what is going on in life. Then only you start to develop the understanding of life. Who are you? What are you? And what human beings are all about. What society's activity are all about. What nature's environment, nature's what they call activities are all about. So that scope is very wide. That's why to understand life is not easy. It's understanding all of the human psyche, their behavior, their thought process, and how they become what they are. So all this need mindfulness, need awareness, need Dhamma to develop the understanding, to awaken. Then to have the understanding of life before you can live life. So understanding is wisdom. Without understanding, you cannot cope. A lot of things can continue to haunt you and create suffering and misery for living beings, especially First Noble Truth realities. Very good.
Yeah, and also for me, it's like, you know, I have to start in aware of my body, you know.
Kaya
first. Isn't that, you know, when I'm doing, you know, I'm just doing, you know, just be there, is it? Rather than just think here and think, doing the planning and thinking.
That's why you have to slow down, not your, what they call, activity of movement of your kaya. You slow down your thought. Your thought is always way ahead. Without mindfulness, you think a lot. And that thinking is way ahead of your activity. And that's why you become heedless. You cannot be with the moment. You realize you are hardly with the moment. Split second, you are lost in thought. Split second, you are lost in thought. So what your mother did is very good. The moment the thought draw her away, she come back away. That one is very important. So daily mindfulness, you have to train, determined to be aware. Then from aware inside, you aware of outside. Yeah. Then you return your awareness to your heart area. So every time you aware from there, this awareness will build up. Then it will help you actually activate your heart area. Then there is a type of awareness energy that slowly, slowly seep into it. Then make it sensitive. Because the moment you're aware, you don't think. The moment you're aware, you don't think. So when you stabilize your awareness, your thought process, your thinking all slow down. And like finally, hardly any thought, any thinking. That's how mindfulness develops. Then space between thought, all this activity starts to appear. Then you start to understand. Eh? Without thought, there is clarity. There is peace. There is tranquility, there is stillness. All this mind state you never experienced before, because most of the time you hardly have any gap between thoughts. The thought keep on proliferating. The reaction of mind, the activity of mind, they are like heedlessly proliferating nonstop until you are so full of heedless thinking, stressful. That's why fear, worry, anxiety keep on coming to haunt you, to disturb you, the lack of peace. So whatever activity you do in life, especially you are still working your career or you are a businessman, your business or thing, you will have to encounter in life a lot of personal problem and issues that need to be resolved. When you cannot resolve it or don't know how to resolve it, then you realize that stress, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, it builds up and really can make a person cuckoo or paralyzed. Then you become like very stressful. So all this without Dhamma, without mindfulness, you don't know how to relax, the stress will build up. Then they will get heart attack and all this thing. So all these are very useful understanding. Very good. Today we covered a lot about life. Okay, continue.
That's all for my sharing.
That's all. Sadhu. Oh, sadhu. Let's rejoin. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, Jupolian, your turn. You would have thought, Jinhao, extend another few minutes, you don't need to share. But now you share whatever little, then next round we get you.
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mr. Teo, and all Kaya Mitas. When I go for retreat or any of my meditations, I am so used to nothing happen, means and I won't like if my mind, because my mind wanders so serious, so active, so when my mind wander and I bring it back, it's something like my routine already. I won't feel anything, and I'm so I'm like aware of this after many minutes or whatever. But whenever I aware, I bring it back lah. But sometimes I wonder until I wouldn't know. So I remember the one of the session. I wonder again, I think. Maybe I also told myself it's already day six already. So what happened was it comes very spontaneous, very fast. I was so mad about myself in this sense that I wonder. I really like pian bin no bro tio on the spot 1 second. I'm so angry that I cannot meditate properly, you know. I cannot bring my mind stick to my body and keep on wondering. In wondering on so many things that I never wonder in KL. Food la, what la, this future, what to do, come back to KL, want to do this, do that. So instant I change. I was so mad at myself, and one second the anger shoot up. And the next second I know is there's a thought, or I don't know what is that. It said, hey, no, must be very loving. Next, when this thought, if I call it thoughts, when it came up, next thing I realized, I am engulfed in a loving atmosphere, and my body,
you know what happened?
Relax. And I don't know, it happened 1 second,
You know what happened. That is your awareness that is aware. That moment you are aware, it'll start to condition you to relax. That's why you settle down back. Then all the thinking gone because you got angry. So that anger is actually an evil root, understand? But because of this evil root, you actually let it come out, understand? That's why it shoot out. Then you know what happened. You know what happened? It releases. That's why people say, don't bottle up your anger, your emotion. Speak to somebody, understand? Hey, now, So your case, you cannot attack until 6 day. All the while the thought telling you, that's why you got angry with your thought. Your thought got angry with your other thoughts that you create through your heedless thinking. You forgot about the awareness-based meditation. You're supposed to relax. Did you relax? You didn't relax. You're supposed to be aware. Don't try to think. Don't try to know. But you keep on getting angry. Why? You think until you're so frustrated. Yeah, the thinking keep on like piling. Heedless thinking. Like you say, normally, you already retired. Don't have office work. You should be more peaceful and like Chin Hao's Mandela. Wow. It's Tan Sai Kai already. But why you end up like that? It's because of your habitual thinking. You got nothing to do. You want to be peaceful because your idea of meditation retreat is go there, settle down, peaceful, calm, tranquil, still. All the experience that good meditator did, you want to have that. But when you cannot get what you want, what happened? Frustration. Understand? Unhappiness, like you say. You get so angry with yourself. Ayo, what are you doing? Check the basic. Are you relaxed? First of all, are you aware? When you are aware, all this awareness will change you. The moment you're aware, you know where you have gone wrong, then you can reverse it, like what Jin Hao saw, very tense and all, so he realized it's not relaxed at all, because the thought behind, lingering thought, I have to do it correctly, I have to do it, like you say, I must not have this thought, I must not have all this heedless thinking, I must have more peace. All these are the thought, understand not, to your psyche, haunting you from behind. So why you allow it to like have power over you? It's only a thought. Thought means what? Arise and pass away. Well, you hold on to them, like you say, when you are at the retreat, their thought also telling you, ayo, this one not done, that one not done, want to do this, want to do that. Why? It's because of your daily life, unfinished business, understand? Because you keep it hanging. It's not finished. Finish means what? Done means done. That's why one by one. Write it down. Settle, done, finish. Done, finish. Then your mind very quiet one, very peaceful one. Whatever you need to do, you cannot handle, write it down. Then make it a point to resolve it. Resolve it means what? Make a decision, finish it. After that, no more of this thinking. Otherwise, it keep on haunting you. Because your lease is like unending, not only long. They say there is this type of show, never ending story. You have this never ending story type of this. So you have to develop the understanding of Dhamma, understanding that will enable you to develop the appropriate understanding to meditate, to reverse all this. So you cannot always tell me nothing happened. You go retreat every time same. Why? Because you never investigate. You never develop mindfulness, awareness. You never follow the understanding of relaxation, maintain awareness. And through your silent mind, you observe, develop the understanding and free. You never do all this. You may have a lot of theory, but you go back to your habitual tendency, your old way of doing things very, very fast. That's why you cannot develop the understanding. And all these are coming, obstruction from the past, where you have been like that for too long. Yeah. So when you are at a retreat, you're supposed to have the good opportunity to train your mind and to develop the progress. Why are you not developing it? Why are you making the situation like more stressful than when you are in PJ and KL, like you say? Means your conditioning, your wrong thought, your unsettled thing are full, a lot, unending. You have to resolve all this through, like Jin Hao, come to know, then wake up. wake up, means no more of this thing. That's why I relax. Your object of meditation is what?
Since this retreat, I started using anapana.
Are you able to be aware of your breathing?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Means you're not serious enough. But when you are serious, you just relax into it and maintain awareness. Every time you wander off, bring it back. Don't try to like be perfect or what. Just bring it back. Then stay there, aware. It will come, like bowing. When you do until body and mind is one, the sati will come. Then the mindfulness of the in and breath, in and out breath, it will happen one. As long as it's natural breathing, don't force the breathing. Don't allow the thought to want to breathe in, breathe out. Forget about that. The counting all useless one. They are creating more thought. You just stay there, aware. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, the awareness and the breath go in. Breathing out, the awareness and the breath go out. Means be vivid, like what I told Colin. Awareness and that movement as one. Be with it. Understand? When you are with it, you are very relaxed, very peaceful. There are no thought on. It's like you are resting that time. You are so relaxed that you are like cotton, no? Completely, whatever the body wants to move, just let it move. Let it find its own natural state. You relax very fast, I tell you. Fang song, Zhenge song, until you like you are dead, understand? You cannot do anything. Then you are very relaxed. That's why you must try it. Relaxation is very important. Relax into every mind state. So the mind stream method also very good way of relaxation. Try it. Feel relaxed. Feel relaxed.
All this while I don't like my sweeping method, so only
no wonder
very,
you cannot relax.
Very grateful for Chin Hao. Just not many days before the retreat, he asked a question about anapanasati. So from there I was knock and I started my sweeping method.
That one will help you settle down very fast.
Of course, my
when you feel and relax, you don't think. That's why I keep on sweeping, relax. Feel yourself soothingly relaxed, understand? Then that calmness, the peacefulness will appear. But when you don't think, where you only feel. If there is any tension, tightness, relax into it, relax into it. Then visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can radiate a radiant smile, you are very relaxed on. You are very happy on.
I interrupt. That's why my question is, when I was very angry at the spur of 1 second, the next second, it become loving, and I was angry. So I don't understand when this thing happened. I don't understand. I understand what is happening, but why?
You don't understand because you use your thought to try to analyze.
It becomes so loving and relaxed. And my mind.
I already explained just now, but you didn't listen because you were so concerned with the analytical part. You want to analyze. You want to reason. Understand? It's not about reasoning. When that thing shoot up, means what? The thing release that stress, understand now? No, release. It's like you can use Krishnamurti's quote, the very flowering of thought is the very ending of thought. Means that thing flower until finish, cannot flower. Understand? The anger becomes so strong, you release it, understand? Through your anger. So when you release that moment, the awareness that is aware of this, then realize the Dhamma that you shouldn't get angry. Well, anger is an evil root. You should instead have loving kindness. And that one start to condition you. That's why when you start to have love, when you start to have more and more of this mind state of love, compassion, peace, then your mind settle down. All those thinking gone. It's because the awareness came in, understand? The awareness cut off your thinking. And when your anger reaches a certain point, it actually bursts out, understand? Means release. Release means what? Means the evil root is rooted out, gone. Then the awareness catches it, understand? If it's still there, it will condition you. The anger will continue to build up because of your wrong thought. But because you release it at the moment, the awareness is there, because it's so strong, then you realize, why are you creating anger? Instead, you should have love, metta, and then the whole thing reverse. That's why you must do metta and all those things to develop that type of mind state. Like you read it, may this body and mind of mine be well and feel it. I say, feel the well-being and the happiness. Understand? May it be without enmity. Feel it without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May there be love. May there be peace. And may there be... Continue to develop this metta. Understand? Initially, you have to verbalize it. Then later on, it becomes a part of you. Then that mind state settles down very fast. That's why mind spring method, metta, and relating good mind state is very useful. These are all taught by the Buddha. Metta Bhavana, go and read the book that I printed. Okay? Now, we have to end 10:39. Thank you so much. Yeah? So let us rejoice with all the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will have to do the closing puja. Sorry for taking up about 10 minutes of your time. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu lokasasana kita wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asatuka tena Sampati hetu cha, pito bhavatu loko cha, raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imena punya kamena, mame bhava samagamo, satan samagamo hotu, yava nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end the whole Zoom session. Sadhu. Thank you.